listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
She did get my fit. She think I'm the shit. Is it a chain on my neck or the watch on my wrist? Maybe the ice in my ear or my bracelet? But she look like the type that could take a dick. Young Gucci Mane, don't kiss me, baby. Can kiss my chain. You got to be a dime piece just to look at the rocks in my timepiece. I don't know that those are the words.
They may not be the words. I just copied and pasted.
Sometimes I think white people make these lyrics.
Official hip hop lyrics archive is not the most accurate depiction of the words.
Apparently not.
Especially for our southern urban gentlemen. Today. But welcome to the show. Hey. Well, this is Blackout Tips with y'all's Rod and
Karen.
And of course, I mean, I feel like, you guys should know her. She's like the unofficial third member of these Walking Dead reviews. Mm-hmm. It's our girl, Miss Smart, from the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. I made it here and, you know, slid in just in time.
Well, so, I'm glad you can make it. It sounded like you had quite the day. From our up front, she was telling us about all the problems of the day that happened. But I'm just so glad that you were able to still make it here.
Oh, me too. I'll tell the people. I mean, I left my entire purse at my house today and was an hour away from home upon realizing it. Tried to go to a bank to get some cash because in my mind, if you have Apple Pay on your phone and you have pictures of your ID and your passport on said phone, they should give you money. Now, in retrospect, no, they shouldn't. But when you need the money, yes, they should. And if you guys are in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, the DMV, you know that parking in downtown D.C. is crappy. So I couldn't park in a parking lot because I didn't have any cash and they don't have Apple Pay. So I had to find Park Mobile so I could park my car using my phone. And so once I came out the bank, I couldn't find a car and Park Mobile wasn't helping me. It was just a mess. And finally, I did make it to work. My coworker gave me a 20 to give to the downstairs parking garage. But it's just been hell. And then I had to pay a ridiculous amount of money for Shake Shack because, well, I had to have Postmates bring it to me. Mm. It's a mess.
Woo.
Yeah.
And people wonder how they supposed to make it in the Z-Pop. You see what I'm saying? How you supposed to make it in the zombie apocalypse? People got all these complaints about how stupid everybody on the show is. It's difficult when you just leave your purse at home out here on these streets. Yeah. It's so wild.
And men don't have that issue. I mean,
if you leave your wallet on the streets, man, you definitely gonna have some issues getting money out the bank
That's true, but most women's purse got more than just like your basic money and IDs and credit card. Like you got a lot of shit that actually helps on your everyday function. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some people who keeps a lot of shit. Like I keep safety pins in there.
Let people know you a safe ally.
No. In case my shirt happens to cut too low or bust up and I ain't trying to show nobody no titties, in case something split, in case somebody, hey girl, you know, I my button fell off.
Right.
Like, that's stuff dudes don't have to think about. Mm-hmm. Shit like that. I keep a toothbrush and toothpaste in there because it keep deodorant in there too. Because A, I got these braces on, but B, in case I had to think about, did I brush my teeth this morning? Because you know how you have your routine, and if you waver off your routine in the morning, you just forget shit. So I had to remember that same thing about deodorant. I'd be like, if I have to ask myself, I don't remember. So I'm either extra fresh or I made sure I'm fresh. Like one or two is going to happen. And then, you have some people, especially women, when it comes to your cycles, you put drawers in there because you don't never know what might happen. Mm-hmm. So I might have an accident. Okay, now I know I got a fresh pair of drawers. Like that shit dudes don't have to talk about. Mm-hmm. Losing your wallet is completely different. That's why I asked her how she survived than losing your purse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. My lips were dry all day. Plus, my face is peeling. I didn't have any moisturizer because I had got my face peeled. My hands, the water is hard at work. They didn't have the right lotion. CVS also wouldn't take the Apple Pay, but the CVS across the street from my old job, I'm pretty sure it took the Apple Pay.
Mm. Why isn't that universal payment?
Why isn't it universal?
Know. Right, because I've seen a lot more people accept it, but a lot of people are like, nah.
People don't trust Apple. It probably costs some kind of money. You know, it's new, you know, compared to Visa and MasterCard and all that stuff. I mean, it just takes a while. Here's the thing, guys, okay? We're still going to get through this together.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get through
this. All right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to survive the podcast apocalypse. one episode at a time.
One at a time.
I don't know how long this episode will be because I really felt like the show was straightforward. So I don't know if the recap gonna be very long, but whatever, we gonna have fun and that's what matters the most. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme
extreme. That's correct. This podcast is sponsored, is brought to you by Shadow Doll Productions, the maker of fine handcrafted audio plays. Check out our audio plays, The Best of Rod and Karen. It's on iTunes and it's on Amazon and it's on Spotify and all these places you can go find it. Listen to us be silly, man. Go check out what we sound like when we are acting and reading scripts and being characters and stuff like that. I think you guys will enjoy it. Just go on, like I said, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places. Oh wait, not Stitcher, iTunes, Amazon, all those places, and search The Best of Rod and Karen. It's really easy. So just like an hour or so of us just doing stuff. And also, before we get into what everybody's waiting on, which is obviously The Walking Dead, it's time for y'all to pay the cost to be the boss. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's the game you got a week off from last week, but it's time to play that shit again. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people and we score them from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right. Everybody's back in the house.
Yes, they are.
All right, I guess we'll start with this one. I saw this morning and it's indirectly fucking with black people, but I felt fucked with. They interviewed Bill Maher about booking Milk House Snuffleupagus, and he took credit for sarcophagus's fall. Now, I'm about to read this interview to y'all. It is at once the most arrogant and nonsensical and hypocritical shit.
You didn't take
But credit. I have to read this because it is so... Because it proves everything I said about this motherfucker and I want people to know. Okay?
Yeah, because anytime you say anything about him negatively, all types of people, cool black people come in and you be like, but dog, do you hear what the fuck he's saying?
Just a low bar. White men, as all, this is why Trump won. White men have such a low bar on both sides of the spectrum, you know, that there's no just a bare minimum of qualifications. And in this case, people call this dude an ally because he shares a couple of opinions that they have. And then they ignore every other thing he fucks up on. And they've been waiting on him to evolve for 20 years.
He's not going to.
You know, I had not a run-in, but this dude shared my post about this on Facebook and wrote this long thing about how he's Mars correct here, we need to stop kicking people out of all this shit. White dude, of course. And I didn't even really have anything to say to him. I just, you know how you can like something on Facebook, I just put the sad picture. Sad white man. Anyway, so they interview him in the New York Times, you know, because obviously this is a big deal. Friday he was on your show, by Monday he done fucked up his book deal. They said, given all that's transpired since Friday's show, how do you feel about your decision to have Milhouse Esophagus as a guest, and how do these segments transpire? Well, let's recap. About a week ago I went on Van Jones' show and somebody asked me about the book and I hadn't really gotten into the details of Milton yet. He was just getting on my radar. I said specifically, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Then we had Milhouse on, despite the fact that many people said, oh, how dare you give a platform to this man? What I think people saw was an emotionally needy and culture wannabe trying to make a buck off of the left's propensity for outrage. And by the end of the weekend, by dinner time Monday, he's dropped as a speaker on CPAC. Then he's dropped by Breitbart and his book deal falls through. As I say, sunlight is the best disinfectant. You're welcome.
No, so let's say this wouldn't have happened. You basically would have been making him a household name.
It's all part of his plan, Karen. His masterful chess move of having people on his show to benefit from the ratings, but also secretly is sabotaging them for later.
Not so. You trying to make a twist on this shit.
I mean, I think he had Tammy. I think he had Tammy on, Tammy Lauren, and I think he, she's still doing fine, right? Like, nothing happened to her. I guess it must not have worked that time. I don't know. Now here's the thing. Keep in mind that he basically said, you guys owe me one. I did this to make sure that, all right, keep that in mind. Someone said, you think that helped the interviewer? You think that helped to lead to his downfall? That's what I was just saying. And by the way, I wasn't trying to get him removed from society. I'm somebody who many times people have tried to make go away. They were successful that one time for 6 months and 23 years because that's how long it was, the 22 shows, real time politically incorrect, the previous shows. It just rubs me the wrong way when somebody says, I don't like what this person is saying, he should go away. So we owe him a thanks, but he wasn't trying to get the dude up out of here, but we're all welcome for getting the dude up out of here. I don't know. I don't feel like a bit having your cake and eating it too on that one. Also, you tacitly come to his defense. I don't like that y'all getting this dude up out of here. I just want y'all to know that it happened to me a long time ago and I think it's wrong. You know, this was basically freedom of speech for white dudes is I want the freedom to talk bad about people. And I don't want anyone to ever say I won't pay for that. You know, that's really all it comes down to. Do you feel that way even with the kind of things that Mello was saying on your show or in other platforms he was given? Can he do damage? I suppose he can to a degree, not a great degree, I don't think. Keep in mind this dude is rallying people to harass people off of Twitter and shit like that. Bill Maher has never been a victim of that. Even when he says something that's fucked up, Bill Maher is pretty isolated from the backlash of it. Could he offend people? Could he even inspire a borderline person to do something violent? I guess so, but nothing is free in life. People seem to want to live in this world where everything is a win-win. That's not how life works. So that's the problem, guys. You know, it's not like you know, it's not like giving this dude a platform is harmful in any way. I mean, to a degree, but against who? Not white people, not right. Me.
Right. So,
so that degree is something I can deal with, right?
Right.
Could there have been more accountability in your segments with him? For instance, it seemed like he was allowed to grossly understate his role in harassing Leslie Jones on Twitter. It's not my job to hold him accountable to everything he's ever said or done. Now, keep in mind, the question wasn't hold him accountable to everything he's ever said or done. It was, here's a specific example where you let him slide. You could have said, pushed back on that
if you wanted to, but
he does all the time. If say somebody says something like all Muslims aren't terrorists, he definitely pushed back on that. You know, if somebody were to say something that he disagrees with, he often will like call people out and confront them on the show. Sorry, I don't have time to go over everything everybody else would want to. We just had to sort of start a discussion of the broad view of who he is. I don't think he frankly knows what he's going to say half the time or knows what his philosophy is, but to see him as this monster is a little crazy. You know what he is? He's a little impish, bratty kid brother, and the liberals are his older teenager sisters who are having a sleepover, and he puts a spider in their sleeping bag so he can watch them scream. So keep in mind, one of the things that I find interesting, the infantilization of these harmful ass white people that spread racism and bigotry, but somehow get to maintain a level of like boyishness and childhood and, you know, like he's just your kid brother and shit like that. This is a grown ass man.
Right.
Dude's like 28, 29 years old. This, for better or worse, this is about what this dude's gonna be for the rest of his life. The white dude that was on my page that wrote this long ass post, cause there was also a link that I put from, Bill Maher a long time ago, on his politically incorrect show, defended pedophilia and this teacher that fucked this boy and talked about it's just a loving relationship and all this shit, right? Keep in mind, that was 20 years ago, right? And he was saying that. And here's Milo. And I think there's a reason that he sees this guy as a little brother and a kinship because they're mostly the same. And what's funny about it is the dude that shot, I put the link on his page, he said the same thing, which was like, well, you know, he's just a kid, and I mean, Mar grew out of that, and hopefully this guy will grow out of it. One, we don't know that Mar grew out of that, we just know he stopped saying it.
Right.
Like, it's not like he revisited this topic and was like, actually, now I feel differently. Like, we have no reason to believe that.
No.
And then more importantly, only, it seems like only white people are really allowed that.
Yeah, they're allowed to quote-unquote be children forever, but the second your child is above the age of fucking five as a brown person, your child is a fucking adult and will be charged as one, and you're like, word, that's not the same.
Yeah, Mar, it's not like Mar, it's not like Mar was a child when he said it either.
Right.
You know, but they really do treat like 30-year-old white men as if they're 15.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
You know?
Goddamn grown ass.
But
person.
I think about, am I echoing?
No, you're good.
Okay, so I think about it like this. One, yes, these people who defend what's-his-face, they certainly see themselves in his shoes, and they don't want to be, you know, ostracized or called on their bullshit, because Bill Maher even harkened back to when he got kicked off the air for being an asshole. That's one. And two, if people can understand a sociopathic adult and look back and say, oh, he abused animals and killed animals as a child, why can't they see that if this idiot is allowed to behave this way, that it's only going to get worse?
Right.
It may be hidden like a sociopath, you know, they, you know, Dexter may, you know, kill in secret, but he's still killing.
Right. They keep waiting on them to like grow out of it. And I'm like, yeah, one, they're grown, but two, how would they ever grow out of it? And there's never a cost to be paid. There's never anything that would give them the incentive of, I'm thinking the wrong things, I should probably stop. It's always like every time there's a cost to be paid, they just start immediately feeling bad for the white guy. Like, oh, he lost a job, he lost a book deal. Oh, I'm against that. No, I'm not for that. And it's like, because you're a fucking coward. You're useless to me. You know, like essentially and I said this on Twitter, and some people disagree, but he's like the moderate. Bill Maher is like the moderate that MLK was talking about,
right?
Because to me, he's the guy that operates in this middle of this almost hands offish approach, and I'll get to it later in the article. But he's very much like, well, I want conservatives to come and talk on my show, and I want liberals to talk on my show. But he has no barometer. Like, there's no like, well, this thing that people say is unacceptable, and you talk about that shit on my show, I will check your ass. He doesn't have any of that. He thinks the point of having the show is to have everyone come on for not, like, with no holes barred, but then he wants credit for when something happens to these people. It's like, but you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, he says, someone says, how does someone deal with a personality like Maito, who is going much, much further than other guests, saying things that are demonstrably false? He says, the president says 10 things a day that are provably wrong. If I threw everyone off my show who says things that are provably wrong, I'd never book a conservative and probably half the liberals. But then why would
you? Not
the same. Yeah, number one. And then you do every week call out some shit the president said that was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, this dude literally just had a guy on his show and didn't argue with anything he said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had Trump on your show, you'd be going, that's false, that's wrong, that's a lie. But you definitely, like, he doesn't want to admit that he went easy on this dude because there's a kinship there. When he said that transgender people have a psychiatric disorder, do you just move on from that? Move on. It dominated the entire segment. The online segment. The other guest attacked him. When I say that's not unreasonable, when he's talking about to not want to share a bathroom with a transgender person. When I say that's not unreasonable, it's because women have said that to me. I want to know, or I'm not comfortable with someone in the bathroom, even if they, in their minds, have decided they are a woman. Doesn't that opinion count at all? Keep in mind.
No, because it's stupid.
Right. Didn't say it on the show, number one. Right? So it did go unchallenged from you. Two, you said, like, while you're trying to funnel this out to women aren't, it's just the same argument people have with the children thing, they're gonna fuck our kids, they're gonna rape our women. It's not even women and kids saying this.
No.
You know what I mean? It's mostly men saying this, is a way to like other transgender people. And that's not, and in the context of the laws and stuff, like a transgender person who is male bodied but presents as a woman walked into a fucking man's bathroom, they're more likely to be assaulted. You know what I mean? And vice versa, by the way. Like if a person who is female bodied but presents as a man started walking into the women's bathroom, you'd lose your fucking shit. You know what I mean? It's just not even reasonable. But and for you to say that's not unreasonable, that's just tacit agreement. That's all that is. You know, because you didn't want to present this dude as wrong. You want to it's almost like the Trevor Noah thing where you want to show your strength by agreeing with the most repugnant motherfucker and being like, see, we can have discussions, guys. Isn't this good? Aren't we having a conversation? It's like, if there's no value in the conversation because you're not presenting any counter views, you're just sitting there letting this person spew their shit, then no, it's not a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's just a way for you to get clicks.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't agree that transgender people have a psychiatric disorder? No, I don't agree with that, but I don't know that much about the situation. If somebody tells me, like, feels like, if someone feels like they're a woman, fine, then you're a woman. I'm okay with that. If they've studied that and they say it's not a psychiatric disorder, I'm okay with that too. If that's what scientists decided, that is not a psychological disorder, it's fine with me. I agree. But he didn't, in the conversation though, you didn't object to it at all. Right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And it's not like he farms all disagreement out to his guests, because there's been look at the segment just with him and Ben Affleck. He wasn't waiting for the guest to go in, he went in, you know, like
yeah, when you want to speak on shit, you will.
Right. It didn't rise to his standard of offense, which is why he didn't discuss it on his out of his own mouth, like he waited for his guests to discuss it. I don't even watch his show, but I bet money Bill Maher has November 29th transgender bathroom legal fight reaches Supreme Court. Bill Maher has to say a real talk or whatever final thing on that, you know what I mean? Like, It's that thing where conveniently when you want to be on everybody's side, yeah, but when you're in the face of it, you're sitting up there agreeing with the dude that's saying ridiculousness. You know? But okay, cool. That person also said, since the start of your new season, you had other guests like Tommy Lauren and Pierce Morgan on, not nearly as provocative. I wonder if their ratings are falling.
Possibility.
I would hope so.
Like, I wonder if that's why he's having these people on. Like, is it desperation because you got to build some new people that you normally wouldn't reach out to, but now maybe ratings going down, so you got to start looking for these internet people and shit?
Yeah, because I might be wrong, but in my opinion, his platform is very stagnant as far as where technology is going and how things are moving, even how television is presented. He hasn't really changed a lot of format of his show. And the thing is, you've got to be, the way his format of his show is, you need to be very, very entertaining. And a lot of times he's not fucking entertaining, in my opinion, because I don't think he's funny. And also you have, especially with his views on Islamic, about Muslim people, very homophobic and all that stuff, people view that, and a lot of people are like, hey dog, I can't fuck with you. And I think with the lead up to the election and shit like that, and him just constantly shitting on quote unquote liberals like they are the worst ever and it's all their fault, even that Donald Trump got elected, versus calling these motherfuckers out being racist that voted him in, I think a lot of people who used to love him, even a lot of white people, sat back and was like, hey dog, and I really think I have to do a view, because once you get to the point that you begin to get more extreme and extreme and extreme with your guest, that tells me it's something to do with ratings, in my opinion.
I think they also kind of agree, you know. They have this, I'm not gonna play it, but they have this, you know, he has this final thought or whatever fucking thing. And he had, one of his thoughts was about how liberals need to let go of the transgendered as a pet cause, because it will drive a wedge in the 2016 election.
Right.
And so, you know, you guys caring about that shit is gonna make people not vote for Democrats. So maybe, you know, it's that thing where people call someone an ally and you assume something, but when it push comes to shove, he probably agree with Milo on that shit.
Of course.
No.
Yeah. And plus, I think too, when he first started out, his show was innovative, but now we have 24-hour news networks that do what he does and have ratcheted it up way higher than he could have probably ever thought he'd have to do.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's now chasing, honestly, the cable news, because cable news lost their dignity and just started having on these fucking nutbags to argue with people. And now it's like, how the fuck do I top that? Well, let me go to the same resources as them and find the most extreme points of view, because, you know, this not like he hasn't been doing this show for 23 years.
Right.
This is a new low for him and these guests.
Right.
Like, it's not new. Like, the format's not new. Mm-mm. but the level of guests that he's getting, yeah, that is new. Like, it used to be an event, like, oh damn, this motherfucker got so and so on there, or, you know, he made certain people a household name, like what was that, the Ann Coulter and shit like that. Became like, yeah, they rode each other's coattails of fame. But, you know, this shit here with Tommy Lawrence, these are people that he's just trying to have on. I think maybe his ratings may have dropped or something.
Yeah,
you got competition from John Oliver now.
Right.
You have probably a dozen different cable mocking the news type shows, mm-hmm, where people go for their comedy and news. And now you know, maybe he's feeling a bit, a pushback. You know, he didn't mind in 2015 having Janet Mock on the show. I'm sure he didn't tell her this shit about, you know, I kind of, you know, it's not unreasonable to want y'all out of the bathroom, you know? I mean, right, exactly. But yeah, he says, I never try to push anyone's buttons. I think everybody else on TV, everybody else who does political commentary in a comedic way, they're all in one box. It's so predictable what they're going to do, which is never say anything that would make any liberal give the slightest bit of discomfort. I do a show about what's happening that week in the news. Trump is president. I'm glad that we have enough credibility with both sides that people who are Trump supporters will still do the show. Yeah, them Trump supporters will do every show though.
They don't care.
I mean, who they turning down? The right. Motherfuckers should be having to be on TV. They just gonna lie to your face one way or the other.
Right.
But why are we catering to the stupidest among us?
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
It's like... Well, I mean, it's like, I don't go in. I mean, as a teacher, I wouldn't have gone into my seventh grade class and taught to the child who is barely at fourth grade reading level, and taught the entire class. Like, I'm trying to bring that kid up.
Well, it's also that thing where I said earlier about MLK and the moderate liberal, or the moderate, you know, whatever, the moderate. He is that person because you see he's measuring his show's effectiveness by ability to get the most, like you said, to pull in the dumbest of the people and be like, see, they'll do my show. It's like, well, maybe that's because your platform is actually garbage. Like, maybe when you don't stand for anything, it's a lot easier to get guests. You know, maybe people don't do, say, The Daily Show because they saw how Tommy Lauren was talked to and how she was mocked. And they're like, oh, yeah, I don't want to, I'm not going to go on that show because I say stupid shit like that, too. And apparently it will be ridiculed and dissected. Maybe that's what happened, you know, and people look at your show and they go, it's a safe place. This dude has no fucking balls. I can say whatever I want to. And he's going to sit there and take it because he's just going to be happy I showed up. You know, as far as he's concerned, the only thing that matters is me showing up. Going back to politically correct, you book conservatives like Ann Coulter and Kellyanne Conway. He says, and Laura Ingraham, we had a whole cadre of blonde conservatives. There was a fourth woman conservative we used to book in those days who we kind of discovered. Her name is Arianna Huffington. I guess that was his liberal credentials right there.
Mm-hmm.
Even after experience with Milo Kanopoulos, do you still want to get have guests your viewers can't have encountered or might want to avoid? Yes, I like people who push the limits. I like people who are not afraid to take the slings and arrows because they're going to explore what's on the edge. Now, is this guy over the edge? Yes. I mean, he's a little cuckoo, but I would rather err on that side than the side where everybody else is. What? Right.
That doesn't even make sense. Yeah, this guy's a murderer. Yeah, this guy is dangerous. But you know what? I'd rather just let him come into my house because everybody else is not letting him. And he's not even being kicked out of everybody else's house. Like, keep your house clean and safe. If you know, you know what?
You know what my question is? How come Crossover don't never cross over to us? Mm-hmm. Like, when he gonna have Dr. Umar on? Sarah Setti. Like, let one of them crazy niggas that talk crazy shit on your show and use your platform and piss off some white folks and talk, call you the white devil and shit. Like, let them people come on your show and talk down to your audience and piss. If you really want to piss everybody off, I mean.
And they will be more than happy to show up too.
Right. Let Diamond and Sparkle come on there and spit that hot fire, coonery in your face. Like, if you just having people on because they gonna make people mad,
right,
then why come it's always the dude that is some white dude that's talking shit about the same group of people that you claim to be allies with, same, you know, some white woman coming on to tell everybody how black people ain't shit and stuff, and you just give them a platform every time. Oh man, such a cornball. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100, fuck him.
All right, Miss Smart.
That's an easy 100. Yep.
Yeah, 100. And more importantly, stop defending that dude. He's so trash.
Just stop it.
Y'all have the lowest fucking standards, man. Jesus Christ. It's like he got a TV show. It's like giving him props for having a camera. He allows people to come on. Both sides need to discuss it. I'm like, all right, dog. Only thing that tells me is I can't fuck with you either, because I know your ass ain't got no standards. Who knows what people say about me to you when I ain't around? They probably be calling me all kinds of shit. You just be like, well, I'm going to get censorship. A neo-Nazi got punched in the face while handing out racist flyers at a California campus.
Okay.
You know what? I'm not even going to finish that. Zero.
Zero.
Leave for me.
Yeah, solid zero.
There you go. All right. let's see. This one, guys. So, Primark, which I guess is a United Kingdom store,
okay,
has pulled a range of shirts, t-shirts, off of the shelves after they got a complaint, guys. Okay. They got a complaint and they said, we got to take this shit off the shelf. Now, what kind of shirts are these? Walking Dead shirts.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they were racist, Karen.
Against zombies?
Apparently, the shirt is one of Lucille, Negan's bat, and it says, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
That's the shirt?
Yeah, that's the shirt. And y'all see how racist it is when you look at it, right? Is that racist to you, Karen?
No.
Miss Smart, you're not.
I don't see it.
Not offended? Okay. All right. Well, allow me to explain.
Yeah,
okay?
Tell me where it should hurt. Tell me where it should hurt.
The killer, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan in a hit show about survivors of the zombie apocalypse, calls his bat Lucille and uses it to kill longstanding favorites Glenn and Abraham at the start of the most recent 7th season. Spoiler alert. Before killing the pair, Negan, who leads a gang called the Saviors, decided on who to kill by doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by his toe. Mm-hmm. But after a Sheffield couple, Ian and Gwen Lovecraft, spotted the t-shirt in a Primark store in Sheffield last week, they complained to bosses that it was offensive. The Methodist minister said that eeny, meeny, miny, moe rhymes is racist because it actually goes on to say catch a nigger by his toe.
Okay, I see where they're going.
He also said the bloody bat was offensive, adding, we were shocked when we came face to face with a new t-shirt with a racially explicit graphic and text. It was fantastically offensive, and I can only assume that no one in the process of ordering it knew they were doing what they were doing or aware of its subliminal messages. He said that everyone knows that eeny, meeny, miny, moe phrase continues to catch a nigger by his toe, adding the graphic has a large American baseball bat wrapped around with barbed wire covered in blood. think everybody knows he don't watch The Walking Dead. I know that much.
And you'd be amazed how many people, even some adults, go catch a tiger by. Because that's, for some people, that's all they've ever
been. You'll be amazed. Everybody says that except this dude. This dude grew up in some racist. Where did he grow up? I'm looking at his parents. Who taught you that, sir? Who taught you that version of the rhyme? I bet. But
how old is he? Is he old?
Let's see. He is. They don't say how old he is. Methodist preacher, okay. Though. He's probably pretty old.
Yeah, he definitely don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm. I like his Everybody Knows.
No, everybody don't.
The image relates directly to the practice of assaulting black people in America. This nigga won the woke Olympics, dog. Oh, shit. He over in another country talking about.
They but this ain't America. I don't care.
Is directly threatening to a racist assault. And if I were black and were also, he ain't black. If I were black and were faced by a wearer, I would just know where I stood.
You know what? I want him on the team.
Come get you a barbecue sandwich. Get this man a fish plate.
Make it to go if he don't want to stay. Well, we'll use a good aluminum foil.
Oh, he too woke.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he too woke. Mr. LeCraft wrote a letter to Primark chief executive Paul Marchant, asking him to remove the T-shirt from sale. The boss decided to remove it after the complaint. A spokesman for Primark continued, the T-shirts are now being removed from all of its stores, adding the T-shirt in question is licensed merchandise from the U.S. television series The Walking Dead, and the quote and image are taken directly from the show. Any offense caused by its design wholly unintentional, and Primark sincerely apologizes for this. He got him to pull it. Oh, man.
Yeah, white man magic.
Mm-hmm.
We need him on the team. I feel like he's walking around with a monocle looking for the racism.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that.
He got the magnifying glass like a detective.
Yes.
Is that some racism? Hold up. Is this some sism?
Do I need to magnify my glasses?
Smell
and that. He's so committed that he actually wrote a letter like that. And because I'll write
that's
a letter.
Commitment.
But he, as a white man, he saw this. He did the math in his head and said, you know what? Let me go get my pen, my quill, and my dipping ink.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, dipping ink.
Like I bet he be on everything. He be like, I was listening to your radio station the other day and you played a racist song. Mm-hmm. It's a nice day for a white wedding. I think it's a nice day for anybody of any color to get married, and you need to stop playing that song. I'm tired of your racism is what I'm trying to say.
he's the one that'll write them a letter telling them they shouldn't have their weddings at slave quarters.
What happened in slave quarters?
No, a lot of white people.
Oh, you mean plantation weddings?
Yeah, it's the trend.
But I'm saying that's something I could convince a lot of people that's racist. I think he just be looking at stuff like a white sale. What? Why has it gotta be black ice? I saw it on the weather report.
I know.
You said watch out for that dangerous black ice. I think you need to change it to African American ice, and you need to stop calling it dangerous.
He gonna write them a letter. I got your invitation to this all white party.
Mm-hmm.
I do not approve of this.
Puff Daddy, your party is extremely racist.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. Oh man. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I was mad, but now I'm not.
Mm.
Zero.
You were blind, but now you see to the wokeness.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Miss Mark?
I'm also a solid zero. I like him.
Yeah. Man, now I just want to talk to that dude out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I know he don't watch Bill Maher. He probably go off.
Yes, he would.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and talk about what you guys really want to talk about.
I know, right?
The Walking Dead is episode 10 of season 7. Only like 6 more to go, and it's called New Best Friends. And it got 11.08 million, which is still pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Considering how, you know, the season went down after the first week. All right, so I guess the synopsis for this episode is we go check out the kingdom. Daryl meets up with Carol. The Savior's exchange with the kingdom is getting a little dicey. Also, and we have a we meet the new people that the new group that Rick and his crew have been surrounded by, and they go through a harrowing experience to try to build an allyship with this new group. Let me play the theme song. Also, correction, is Catch a Nigra about to tell? Apparently, he's not from the South. Ah. all right, so Karen, thumbs up, thumbs down. What'd you think about this?
I loved it.
Karen loved it. All right, Miss Smart, what'd you think about this episode?
Thought it was rubbish.
Rubbish? She thought it was a pile of junk that they throw you down into and make you fight a zombie.
Literally and figuratively rubbish.
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode to move the story along. It is starting to become, and this may just be my affection for certain types of video games, but it's starting to become a role-playing game.
Yes.
And I am totally fine with this.
like, people levering up, people healing and sharing their powers.
I mean, the people you walk into, like the groups they're running into are literally just starting to feel like sections of Final Fantasy. And I'm just like, fine, fuck it.
They dress like them shit.
Fuck it. Y'all been doing this 7 seasons. Y'all right. I'm tired of just the same shit. Do some weird shit. And this week was weird to me, right?
Completely.
Like, we definitely spent time in two of the most detached from reality locations. Because we went to the kingdom, we spent a lot of time there. And then, of course, this new group, which I'm going to call the Junkticons. We hung out with these motherfuckers for half an hour, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, for a lot of people, I could see people doing just weird and crazy shit when the world goes to hell, because you know sometimes people have to have some place of a normalcy, you
know? I mean, it don't gotta be realistic to me,
right?
Like, I like the weird wacky shit.
I don't know,
this was weird and wacky. The kingdom is weird and wacky, and this shit, yes, was another weird and wacky group. And I think my favorite thing about it, and this is probably for people that just are watching the show, it's probably not that big a deal, but for me, my favorite thing is that they're not in the book.
No, they're not.
So we now run into two groups that aren't in the book. And I love when they do that shit, because now I have something else to watch for where I'm like, oh, who are these people? What is their hierarchy go? What do they call the walkers?
Right.
And all kinds of shit that, you know, people might not care about, but I definitely give a fuck about. So we'll break it down. I decided to break it down by just going to the different locations rather than, because it only happened in two different places.
Right.
So let's start with the kingdom. Okay. Oh, and I don't know if y'all realize this, but, and maybe I'm about to sound like I think I'm hella deep, but I'm not, and I might just be late and stupid, but I realized this the second we stopped recording last week. Last week, the show was called A Rock in the Road, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he had that big ass that story, that fable about the girl with the rock in the road, and she moved in and found a pot of gold and all that shit.
Right.
Before her hard work, the king rewarded her. That was the explosives. That was the rock in the road on the highway when they got them explosives. That was the gold. Mm-hmm. It's right there in the fucking title. I can't believe I missed that. I'm a fucking idiot.
I missed it too. Don't be bad.
Oh, I felt so stupid when we finished recording.
Yeah, I missed that too. I thought it was just a story, and the story was the story, and that's it.
I mean, you know, they so obvious. They can't let nothing be subtle. But I cannot believe. I was like. I felt so dumb. I felt like when you leave your keys in the house, you know, you just like, as soon as you close the door, like, the keys are in the house, you know?
Or your purse at home.
Yeah. All right, so we start at another one of the swap meets where the saviors are meeting up with the kingdom, and this time they are getting watermelons from that black man, of course. Mm-hmm. And the guy who's in charge, Gavin, I think is his name, he's like, this doesn't look like enough. And then he's like, Ziga's like, count it again. It's all there. And dude counts. He's like, you right, 10 watermelons. Well, this is going smooth and da 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 da. And this looks like everything's going to be good. I do like the little jokes with Jerry, like he's like, now boss, and then the Zika's like, now Jerry. Here's my thing though, why is he calling him Jerry? I feel like Ezekiel, as part of his character, was call him like Fitzgerald or something, you know what I mean? Gerald. I don't think he would just call that nigga Jerry. It doesn't make sense. So, plot hole. Anyway, they got some dude named Jared, who is the long-haired, super, like, I'm a white person at Starbucks making a complicated order type asshole. And he's picking on Richard, and he decides Richard shouldn't have a gun. And Richard's like, over my cold dead body, and they both pull guns on each other.
Stand off.
And then, he's like, you know, what y'all gonna do, whatever. And, Gavin's like, we can't be having this shit every week. And, Ezekiel's like, I agree. Richard, hand him your weapon. And he does. Although you could kind of see in Richard's face that he was almost like hoping Ezekiel would be like, yeah, fuck these motherfuckers, kill them, you know?
That wasn't gonna happen.
But of course he didn't.
Of course.
So he hands him the, Richard hands Jared the gun, and then Jared is like, you know, he don't ever get a gun again. And then Richard's like, suck on that, you little shit. And then, of course, Richard goes to hit him. And as he goes to hit him, Morgan knocks the gun out of his hand with the bow staff and blocks the punch. And then the guy looks at Morgan, and then Morgan, he grabs Morgan's bow staff from Morgan and he hits, Morgan and, Richard at the same time, but he gets swept by Ben, the squire, who's been practicing with the bow staff.
Yeah. MVP. He was like, I'm coming off the bench.
Right. And then of course Gavin blames all of Ezekiel's people for this. Like, it's not Jared's fault at all, right?
So provoking, right?
Like, at least last,
that sounds so familiar.
Don't it? It's almost like Jared, his last name must be Yogurt Topolis, because that motherfucker is getting a whole lot of lot of chances, innocent. You know? He just, what are we going to do?
Kid.
Just a young, he's like your younger brother that just puts a spider in your pillow, which my little brother never did that, and if he did, I would have whooped his ass. So I don't know how it happened.
How their families work.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened in Bill Maher's house, but that is not a thing we did.
And, kids killed.
Right. Anyway, so Gavin tells him like, "Hey man, can't be fighting all the time." And then Ezekiel's like, "You know what, dog? I'm gonna stop bringing Richard up here." And then he's like, "Nope. Nope, that's not gonna work. You gotta keep bringing Richard, because I told you that if this shit happens again, he gonna be the first one to die. So you gotta keep bringing him." He's like, just in case shit gets visceral. And then they basically roll out. You know, I guess the customer's
but
always
that also
right.
Sounds familiar too, because Black people keep showing up to stuff. We'll keep kicking your ass, but we want you to just not react. No, that's not how this works.
Right. I want to police your reaction to it. Now, the right thing for them to do would be like, let's stop bringing Jared. He keep fucking up the exchange. We love getting 10 watermelons a week, you know? But apparently he decided fuck that.
Because his thing is like, eventually we're going to have to teach him a lesson, and I don't like him anyway, so I'm going to be sure something go wrong. He's going to be the first one to die. So
yeah, they love making examples out of people. Now, I feel like they do a lot of this because they can't afford to have Jeffrey Dean Morgan on every episode. So this guy was just a placeholder. One of the things that was interesting, though, is when they get ready to leave, Morgan asks for his stick back. Like me asking for the controller back for my mama when she take it when I'm playing video games and I'm on ground. He's like, can I have my stick back? And then the dude was like, what? And he was like, someone important gave it to me. The cheese maker. Yeah. And the dude was like, man, I don't give a fuck about your backstory. It's my stick. You hit me with it.
Oh, he gonna get that stick back.
And he was begging Gavin to let him hit him or whatever. And Gavin's like, come on, man, let's go. And then I love Gavin talks to Morgan where he goes, read the goddamn room, sensei. Like, it's not happening. You're not getting your fucking stick back. They get back to the kingdom. Ezekiel tells Ben not to use his bow staff so quickly and shit, just because he got skills now.
Basically tell him to think.
Yeah, but essentially, I guess he wanted him to let Morgan and that dude get fucked up. Which I don't know, man. Ezekiel,
I disagree with his methods. He just don't want to, whatever it takes, not to go to war. And
I mean, when you more passive than Morgan, it's like, nigga,
right?
Because, you are doing the Z-Pac wrong.
Because I think that Ezekiel and Rick have more in common, because that's how Rick was. Rick had got to the point where he was like, whatever it takes not to get another person killed. And when you do that, all you do is like put everybody in. That's not a way to live. And that's Rick's whole thing, was like, that's not a way to live. He also was kind of like Morgan, being passive, and when he was out there being Farmer Rick and not wanting to kill and all that shit. But he realized that you have to do this. So that's why he constantly is at a war with Morgan, because at the end of the day, he's like, this is a line that you're going to have to cross whether you want to or not.
Well, let me lay this on your beef, Fatty Karen. Do you think Ezekiel has killed anybody?
No.
What about you, Miss Smart?
No, I don't think he has. In fact, I think he's like, he just lucked up into his position.
Right.
Almost like Gregory.
Right, because remember, yep. And he basically said he did when he was talking to Carol. He was like, look, I worked at the zoo.
I understand how he got the tiger and everything. I'm just saying, do you think in those 2 years or 3 years that we've been in the Z-Pac, do you think he's ever had to body a nigga? You think he ever had to catch a body?
No, because he had a fucking tiger. No, nobody's going to fuck with a dude with a tiger, even if they can't fight.
Okay, all right. I'm just asking. Oh, just asking the questions. Opinion. I think he definitely had to kill some people because he's from Detroit, but then the Z-Pac started, and he probably hadn't killed any since the zombies started showing up. And he did look like he was good in a fight. I mean, when they had to kill those zombies the first week where they made the exchange, where they fed the pigs zombie meat. He killed them zombies pretty good, so it looked like he definitely has killed some zombies. I just wonder if he's killed a person.
Oh, you think he like Oliver Queen? I'm being nice, because if you let me loose, I will fuck you up.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, maybe that's why he likes Carol then, because he can see himself in her possibly.
True.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I just assume it's because white girls evolve it.
Okay. I have, and finally coming up to being almost as good as us.
I have social media, and apparently
that's what AppleCare told me. Y'all evolving.
The new wave is these white girls now are almost black girls. So watch your back.
Watch your back.
Watch your back. Original copies. oh my god.
The carbon copies on their way.
Right.
You're like, well, that makes no sense.
At any rate. So Gavin and them have left. Ezekiel's confronting Ben, then he tells Richard he'll talk to him later. Daryl sees Morgan bleeding from his ear after he got hit upside the head with his own stick, and he basically comes over like, did y'all just make a trip to exchange with the saviors? And Morgan's like, yeah, we did. And he's like, they did that to you? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, when Carol sees what they did to you, and then when if she hears about Glenn, you know she gonna kill him or whatever. And he was like, I know, but Carol, that's why she left. And so Richard sees Daryl. Daryl leaves from Morgan, clearly disgusted. And he sees Richard practicing with a bow, because he said they took his gun and now he gonna need this bow. And let me tell you something. People gonna get on Richard. I get it. A lot of people don't like Richard. But let me tell you something. If they told me they were gonna kill me first, you goddamn right I'm trying to go to war. I ain't trying to die for nothing. They already told me I can't not come, and they gonna kill me first when the shit pops off anyway.
Which second, I know it will.
Right, the second that truck's a little light, the second that one of them watermelons come up missing, my ass gotta die first. And yes, I'm the most gung-ho about going to war. I gotta shoot with a bow. You see how off he was at that bow? That shit didn't hit close to the center at all.
Yeah, like Michonne.
And then he gave Daryl a crossbow, which is like giving John Wick a gun. He was like, here you go, dog.
Ain't that. He wasn't as bad as Carl, but he was still off.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Car was up and to the left.
Right, you're right.
So he gives him, you know, the spare crossbow, basically saying, heard you a bowman, you know, here you go. And then he takes Daryl and shows him his secret shack. Mm-hmm. Where he has
the honeycomb hideout
where he got a whole lot of bottles of apparently explosive fuel, because he made Molotov cocktails.
He been planning,
and I'm assuming bottles of urine, because he seems like an Alex Jones fan,
of course. And when he opened the door, they had the name of like a little girl, and I was like, yeah, he lost his family.
Yep,
you know he did. You know he lost his damn family. He Liam Neeson, basically. They couldn't afford to get Liam Neeson, but he like knock off Liam Neeson. So Richard then takes Daryl with, they get some more guns, and he takes him to a hiding spot on the side of the road behind some trailers, and he said, and you can tell this is his plan, he's been thinking about this. Mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, the saviors come through here every day down this road. I won't kill some of them. I got you out here because I can't do it by myself. But we have a drop on them. We're going to shoot the guns. They're going to stop. We're going to throw Molotov cocktails. Then we're going to shoot the guns till we finish it. And I'm going to leave a trail where they can follow this trail back to my cache of weapons. Then they're going to follow that trail from there back to Carol's house. Now, he doesn't tell Daryl that it's Carol, but he just says there's this person living alone. Mm-hmm. And Ezekiel cares a lot about her, and she basically dead because she out here living in this house by herself.
Like, because he don't really know her like that.
Yeah, well, I think he knows that Carol can take care of herself.
Right.
And I think he knows that Ezekiel likes her. Mm-hmm. And he's figured out, no matter what, if I can get the saviors to ambush her, she's going to die. She'll escape, but the chances are she's going to end up dead or something, and whatever happens to her is gonna lead back to Ezekiel and the saviors, and the kingdom getting involved in this war. And he's just trying to force Ezekiel's hand.
Right.
Now, Daryl loves Carol, so he don't want that to happen.
He ain't going for that.
So he's like, say her name! Say her name! And then he was like, I don't know any black women that died from police violence.
I know! Got to tell me.
He's like, it's Carol. And he was like, I damn it, I knew you was gonna know. Well, god damn, my plan almost worked. So one of the things I thought was interesting here, though, before we even get to what happened next, what do you think about Richard's plan, Karen?
It was dumb.
Dumb. Okay. All right. What about you, Miss Smart?
I agree. It was shitty because he's assuming and maybe he has been studying them for years. I don't know. But they are pretty volatile.
Mm.
So I don't know that they would do exactly what he expected. So he's trying to lead them back to Carol's house and assuming that they're gonna leave and regroup. No, they could just attack, the kingdom right then and there.
Mm. Okay. All right. I think his plan is brilliant, honestly. I think it's one of the smartest, most brutal, savage plans. If I didn't know Carol, I would be like, do that shit. Like, we need to fight them eventually. We gonna have to, this is basically our Guantanamo Bay. Like, we need to star some shit. Like, we gotta star some shit to get this war popping out, cause I can't be the first one to die if a fucking watermelon goes missing. So take this old lady out. She don't like us anyway. She don't even fuck with us. Can't even go by our house and bring her water. She got mad at me. I understand his plan. I'm not saying it's okay. It's extremely ruthless, and I love Carol. I don't want her to die. But if I was Richard, yeah, that's close enough. Maybe it don't work out exactly like I planned, but I'm a dead man already. They took my gun today. You know what I'm saying? You know how much a punk ass nigga you must feel like walking around with no gun at these exchanges?
Right.
Anyway, the main flaw in his plan was Daryl whooped his ass. They need to, hey, you know that the memes on Twitter where they saw somebody getting their ass whooped, like a black person whooping a white person's ass, and in the top in the sun, it's always like Malcolm X smiling and Martin Luther King smiling. They needed to do that, but have Merle smiling when Daryl was whooping that dude's ass. Merle had to be so proud of his baby brother, because he whooped the shit up out of Richard. And then eventually they draw guns on each other and don't shoot the second time this episode.
Gun and bow.
Yeah, they draw weapons on each other and don't shoot the second time this episode that's happened. And then Daryl, Rich is basically, and the reason they end up fighting is because the Saviors are driving down the road and Rich was like, I'm just going to get to shooting these motherfuckers. And Daryl was like, don't. And then he fought them to make them stop. And so the Saviors never stopped. They don't even know a fight happened over there.
Behind a big ass truck.
Yeah. And Rich is like, this shit got to happen, dog. Stop hating. And Daryl was like, look, man, I don't give a fuck if Carol, gets bit by a walker. If you hatch off this plan, I don't care if she fucking, gets struck by lightning, dog. If she dies, I'm going to kill you. Like, it doesn't matter what happens. When I hear she dies, I'm going to kill your ass. I'm like, Richard, stay getting threatened. And Richard was like, I'll die for the kingdom. And then Daryl was like, well, then why haven't you? Basically. Mm-hmm. Which is a good point, because it makes you wonder if he really wanted to start some shit and get them in this war, he could easily just pop off at one of these meetings
and get shot.
Yeah, and he would probably get killed, but I mean, the kingdom would have to go to war.
No, because Ezekiel, then he'll be like, well, he kind of brought it on himself. I mean, he's a hothead. He had no self-control. He'd find an excuse to lay down.
Well, you got to shoot Ezekiel too, probably. Shoot that nigga in the back, then start shooting some other people. Let them know the deal. Do what you gotta do, bro.
Let them know the cops is in town. We erase your profile.
I mean, the thing is, you essentially need to get Negan out there. So just kill some of them dudes. Negan gonna show up and be like, I hear y'all been killing my peoples. I'm about to kill some of y'all people. So we can get this lesson. We're gonna take half y'all shit, put it in the trucks, and we're gonna be up out of here. And that will absolutely start a war. So that's my guess anyway, because Zeke can't, the reason Ezekiel can keep his populace satiated is that they don't know about the Saviors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If they knew, they would fight. Look at Hilltop. They got a bunch of farmers and shit, but the second they knew that there's a hope of fighting these people back, they was like, hell yeah, some people that want to fight.
Right.
Well, one other thing that was weak in Richard's plan was giving them weapons, like leaving weapons in along the trail for them to get. You don't give them more weapons and more ammunition. You set the thing to explode or something, put some tripwires around it or something like that. You don't give them more weapons.
Okay, so here's what I was thinking, right? This is my guess. I don't know, but my guess is his math was, I'm going to shoot at them with a whole lot of weapons, make it messy, blow shit up, make it look like a big spectacle so that they will send a big ass group out here when they find out what happened to these people. I'm gonna lead them back to the weapon cache so that they'll be like, oh, somebody got a whole lot of weapons, and that explains why they killed so many people, because they over here armed like fucking Rambo. We're gonna follow the path from here. Oh, it's this sweet little old lady. Well, that's how she did it. She went and got a whole bunch of weapons, then she went and killed our men, then she came back to her cabin. That's my guess. Is his math on it is like, if I just make it straight from Molotov cocktail explosion to her house, they're gonna be like, she didn't do this. Like, who helped you? Like, how else did you do this?
Question, who helped you?
Yeah, that's my guess anyway. I don't know. I don't think Rich is all there, is what I'm saying.
He not.
He's desperate, but I don't blame him. Can you blame him? They gonna kill him first. I think people are overlooking the perilous situation of someone telling you, when the things go wrong and you know it's gonna go wrong, we gonna fuck him up first, whether it's fault or not.
Right.
From that point on, I'm in savage mode, dog. Y'all can all die.
But you know what? I'd like to know how Richard even got down with Ezekiel's crew, because I can't align myself with you if you own that passive stuff and I'm about breaking heads. Like, you got to trick me from the start, or at least we got to be on the same page from the start.
It sounds like Ezekiel had a change of heart after they ran into some walkers and some people got killed trying to expand the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So like, it sounds like Ezekiel used to be a fierce leader. I mean, nigga got tigers. I mean, it sounds like he used to be a fierce leader. And then some people died, and then he lost all his, will to really be like a gung-ho leader.
But you gotta make some eggs to make a cake.
That's what I'm saying. But Ezekiel, we can just go with vegan cakes now.
This cake ain't gotta have no butter in it.
Right. Anyway.
Nasty cake.
So after that ass whooping, you know, there's that threat. And then King Ezekiel rolls up to Carol's house with a group of knights. Carol opens the door because they tripped a wire of hers. Cause Carol be knowing.
Come on.
Swear she got the hearing of my grandmama, man. She's like, get out the refrigerator. He's like, it's 3 a.m. But Jerry, gave her some cobbler after she told him to stop coming around there. And he was like, look, long as this Walker's out here, as long as you out here, I'm gonna be coming by checking on you every once in a while. We weren't coming to disturb you. You open the damn door. And I mean, it was kind of some bullshit though, cause Jerry had some cobbler for her. So I feel like they did know she was gonna open that door. Mm-hmm. So after that, they leave. Then a knock on the door, Daryl shows up. As soon as she see Daryl, Daryl's like, Jesus took us to the kingdom. And then Morgan said, you left. And I was like, whoever got to write that Jesus took us to the kingdom line, I know they high fived after that, right? They high fived in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Yep.
They go in. Carol, is cooking some stuff on the fire for him. And she lets him know that she's living out in West Bumblefuck, Virginia, because apparently she didn't want to see any more people die. She didn't want to lose anybody else. And she was like, I don't know what I would do if I would lose one of y'all, cause I can't kill anymore. And then she's like, no, I can. And I don't know what I'm gonna do, cause I'm gonna lose myself. Basically, like, I guess all these people she killing, she losing more and more of her identity, she feels, and becoming this killer person. And she don't want to be that. Which is funny, because I feel like the people on the hashtag and on Twitter and stuff taking it kind of easy on Carol. Like for some reason, Carol gets to go back to not wanting to be a badass when, man, if this was like some of these other characters that have tried to pull this, like when Sasha went crazy, when Morgan decided he wasn't killing nobody, like people get in their ass every goddamn week. Mm-hmm. Is it because Carol ran away from the group? Like, is that why people, they're like, was she just only endangering herself, or
possibility?
Because she's just a sweet old lady.
That too.
I don't know why she gets a pass.
I think that people maybe are holding out hope that she'll turn around. Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
It's been a while.
She's been with us for so long. Like Morgan, you know, he hasn't really been with us consistently being a badass or whack ass, just mostly whack ass. So we don't expect, and I say we, I'm not easy on Carol. I think she's being ridiculous. Or maybe the writing is so ridiculous that I don't feel like she has shown me that she's lost herself. Like if she started to enjoy killing, then and wanted to stop, then I would say, okay, girl, you need to chill. But I mean, she has the right amount of remorse,
right?
So, you know, just channel that remorse, learn to cook some damn cobbler or something, but keep, you know, keep, stay in survival mode.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, the actress is so good. She's such a fucking good actress. She really does make me feel like she tired of killing. Like when she be having them breakdowns afterwards, I'd be like, damn, man. Because like, I'm not like a lot of these people that are like, she gonna come back. Every time they bring her up, she gonna come back. She gonna kill everybody. I'm like, nigga, it don't seem like it. It seems like she overkilling motherfuckers.
Right. I think when she had that book seasons ago and she was keeping tally, I think it was literally weighing. Like,
yeah.
To me, they showed that these actions were weighing on her. And I think that she never really enjoyed killing.
Mm-hmm.
I think she killed out of necessity. And she was like, I don't want to have to do this, and I know that the way this world is set up, I have to kill to protect the people that I love.
So I can't love nobody.
Right, so I'd rather just be alone so I don't have to kill out of protection.
Right. I mean, you can't.
I mean, that's the way I view it.
No, I'm with you. You can't be hurt if you're by yourself, you know? So anyway, they had this conversation that she basically explains all this. And so she says, what happened with the saviors? And I thought it was interesting because the way she asked that question, you could tell, one, she didn't really want to ask that question. Mm-mm. But she does care. Like Daryl's the one person she can't keep that front up with. She can keep that front up with Morgan, keep that front up with Ezekiel, keep that front up with that group of knights that showed up earlier. But Daryl knows her. You know, they spent time, you know, together. Like, you know, they went into that like domestic violence shelter and shit, like they know each other's deepest, darkest secrets and who they are. And I think they both are abuse survivors and they have that together. And so I think she confided in him in a way that other people wouldn't. And Daryl, up until this point, had been very much like, Carol needs to know what's happening so she can come help us kill the saviors. And so she has this moment where she's like, what happened? And he says, yeah, the saviors came and we killed them all. So essentially, he does her the favor of offering her peace. Right. And that scene was so powerful because she was crying like a motherfucker, dog. Right, like,
I think that, I'm not trying to be funny, I think that in her heart, she knew that somebody died and somebody got fucked up.
Yeah.
But she was like, well, let me ask just to confirm what I kind of already know.
Mm.
And also, I think that Daryl, for the first time, realized what the fuck Morgan was talking about. You know, because his thing was like, she gonna come back, and he was like, dog, she just really want to be at peace. Like, I don't think you understanding the point of her just really wanting to be at peace.
Well, he even said he agreed, like, what, on low key, he agreed with Daryl. When Daryl said, well, if she knew she'll come back, she'll fight, and he was like, I know.
Right.
You know, but I didn't tell her, you know. One of the things that was also interesting about this, I really think, do you think she knows that Daryl's lying, or do you think she believes that they killed the saviors and everything's okay?
I think she wants to believe he's telling the truth, because I don't think that she believes they came out unscathed, but I think she's gonna say, I'll take your word for it, because that's what I want to believe to keep myself at peace and to prevent me from actually fighting again.
What do you think, Ms. Smart?
I would agree. I think that when for that, he also doesn't think she's ever learned the truth. She's never going to be put in a position, because he's not going to tell where she is. Mm. Morgan's obviously not going to tell where she is. So, you know, he did her a favor, but yeah, I think she had that fear, but she would accept it coming from him. If it had to come from Morgan, she wouldn't have believed it.
Okay. Yeah, I think she does. I think she believes him, and I think that's why she's relieved, because she seemed very relieved to know.
She did.
But I honestly think if he would have told her the truth, she would have said, well, then I got to gear up, and we got to kill these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, so he kind of spared her and gave her peace that, you know, she's earned. I mean, she got enough bodies on her resume to go straight to the Killing People Hall of Fame, you know, first ballot.
Ah!
Yeah, she gonna get in. So then Daryl basically says, hey, can I get something to eat? And she's like, yeah, I'll get you something to eat or whatever.
Yeah, he joked, do I gotta be a king around here to get something to eat?
Right. And I love the way she looked at him when he ate. You know, it's like watching a mom watch her son come home from college. He did everything but put a sack of laundry on the washing machine.
To wash.
And then he leaves, and at the door she lingers for a second, almost like she doesn't know what to do with herself. Like,
right.
She almost like she wanted to go, but she knew not to.
Right.
And so Daryl leaves. He returns to the kingdom. He hangs out by Shiva's cage. Morgan sees him and says, Ezekiel's gonna be impressed that you know how to hang out with this cat. And Daryl's like, hey, anybody got a pet tiger, can't be that bad. But I think he says that because he asked Carol Ezekiel was okay, and she said he was all right. And then Daryl tells Morgan, like, you need to get us the kingdom, you need to convince them to come fight with us. And Morgan's like,
yeah, him and Han.
Yeah, you know, Morgan's all, we can't do that, we need peace and shit. And so then Daryl tells Morgan, whatever you're holding on to, it's already gone, wake the hell up. And Morgan's like, you the same as me, because you didn't tell Carol the truth, and I know you didn't, because if you did tell her the truth about how the saviors killed everybody, she'd be here with you.
Right.
So you holding on to shit too. And Daryl's like, I'm going to Hilltop. And then he pets Shiva because they had to size it up as much as possible. he passed a fucking tiger.
We both tigers.
Right. And then they show him going back to Hilltop and Richard sees him leaving. So I, now my question, do y'all think Richard will still enact his harebrained scheme now that Daryl's gone?
I think so. And I think one thing that struck me as strange, or I guess maybe also protecting Carol, he didn't even give her a heads up. Like, even a casual over the shoulder, be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, what about this plan? And also, like, I don't know if he just felt Richard was, he was satisfied that Richard was scared. I don't know, you know, Richard didn't seem sufficiently scared to make me feel like he'll never enact that plan. And Richard is desperate. And Richard saw him leave. And also, the Hilltop is a place where the saviors do know about, and maybe they will see Daryl. Right. So, like, you know, he's
a dumbass. He should have stayed.
Right. So this leads to a lot of openings and kind of a stupid, I don't know what his plan is. It's kind of a stupid situation. Maybe he just feels like he got closure now that he saw Carol, but should have stayed his ass there.
That was Rick's whole point. Cause right. Guess what? They liable to go up there looking for you.
Right. And all right. So that was the end of that chapter. Also, let's get to the Junkticons. Okay, guys, so last time we got we caught up with Rick's group. They were also surrounded by a bunch of, I don't know, goth
characters,
like, goth looking motherfuckers.
The models from Kanye West's clothing line.
Yeah.
Yes. That look like his fall line up, don't it?
It was Jesus season 8, all up in there. And so they got surrounded, and then they got walked into the center of what looks to be like a junkyard. Very clean looking junkyard, by the way. But
they ain't got enough time on their hand. They have plenty of time to clear it.
Mm-hmm. They walk in there, there's piles of junk all around, but it's pretty spaced out. And they in the center, everybody walks around in what appears to be like an aimless line until they actually stop and surround them, which is so over the top dramatic as fuck.
Choreography they didn't need.
And I love how many tall people
it was a lot of tall people.
Like, did they find like a WNBA team that was lost in the zombie apocalypse? Because it was like the tallest women in the world on this team. It was
like, we gotta find somebody we can see over the piles of the mountains.
I got it. During the zombie apocalypse, there was a band competition. That's why they were able to get in those formations so quickly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, at least when I paid attention, the tuba players and the people who play the really big instruments were taller.
Mm-hmm. They are. I put in a band, marching band.
There you go.
And they decided to slick their hair back because everybody had long hair, don't care. Mm-hmm. And they was all greased up and wearing dark golf clothes. And a woman whose hair was clearly cut with a flowy came through. And she was the leader. And just because I don't want to keep referring to her as the leader for the next 20 minutes, her name is actually Jaden or some shit.
Jadis.
Because she doesn't tell on their name to the end, and if that's important to you, then I'm sorry, but I don't feel like referring to this woman as the leader forever, you know. But anyway, man, she had this like flowy haircut, David Bowie look going on. She had the He-Man cut going, and the Rick, she's like, does one speak for you, or is this a group or something? And like, they talked weird, which is like, look, I get that it's the Z-Pac, but who the fuck changes their entire way of talking by the 2 years into the Z-Pac? You know what I mean? Like, we're doing away with pronouns at my group.
I got 20 minutes of white voice on customer service before I just break character. I mean, 2 years? Come on now.
2 years. And so Rick is like, you got our man, Gabriel. Where is he at? And because she was like, y'all owe us your lives. If you want to buy back your lives, then let us know what y'all gonna do. And he's like, show me Gabriel first. And they brought Gabe out, but they even took fucking Gabe's shirt. Which I was like, what y'all gonna do with a preacher shirt? It's so fucked up. And Gabe looks so pathetic in that wife beater. And so he, was out there sweating like a slave and shit, looking mad scared. And Rick nods at him, which kind of reassures Gabriel, I guess. And so, he says, the Jadis is like, y'all took the boat supplies. And that was a trap. We've been watching them supplies to see who was going to get them. So then we went to your group and we took the boat supplies back. And then we took all the rest of your stuff because we saw it. Then we took Gabe. And Rick explains, well, y'all really can't own our lives. And we need our stuff back too because that's not our stuff. It's the savior stuff.
Right.
And it's a dude named Negan. He out here kicking everybody's ass and taking their shit. And it's just a matter of time before he does it to you. And if you kill us or you take our shit, he going to come looking for your ass. And he going to fuck it all up. And y'all ain't trying to have them problems. So what you need to do is group up with us and we can fight them together because I got a plan. And she was like, nah.
Yeah, Rick getting a lot of nay, nah.
And so when they said, when Jada said no, the rest of the group started looking at them. They all produced weapons and started trying to fight our group, which they struggled in the fight for just a couple seconds. Of course, Aaron uses superpower, getting hit upside his motherfucking head again. Ah! Boy, that boy, whoo, he got a
no wonder why his husband be like, don't go back out there.
He need to be in the post-concussion syndrome test. We need to check him out.
PTSD?
Not the PTSD, the CTE. But they need to check him.
That concussion.
Yeah, we got to check him because that motherfucker got something. He done got hit upside the head more than Tina Turner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so he got his ass whooped. And then Gabe pulled out a knife and took one of the women hostage. Tanil, I think was her name.
Yeah, he took a knife from her.
Yeah, Tamil. He disarmed her, put a knife up to her throat. It was like, y'all need to listen.
I'm okay? About this life, I fuck up.
I kill her if y'all don't listen to us. And then that she, Rick was like, look, I'm telling y'all, we could get stuff. And she was like, speak or whatever. And Gabe was like, look, man, he is our leader. Rick can do anything. Just tell us what to do. He'll get it for you. And she was like, want something now. And then Rick was like, look, man, he right. I'll get whatever y'all need. Just let us know. We resourceful. We survivors. And I'm like, I'm surprised because basically Gabe wrote a check for Rick's ass to cash.
Yeah, he did. He's like, I believe in you, white man. Now do something.
He's an impossible white man. I know. I seen it.
Didn't somebody write one at the hilltop for them? You know, like was it Daryl that said we can kill all of them or
yep.
whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
They always writing checks for Rick's ass to cash, right? But Rick believing himself again, so it's fine. So she was like, Tamil, Breon. She told everybody drop their weapons. And Gabe dropped his too. And then she was like, Tamil, Breon, show Rick up. And I'm like, did Derrick Rose write this dialogue?
I was like, who the hell is up?
Like, this shit felt like Mad Max meets Blade Runner. Like, why do these people talk different? They just, it hasn't been that long.
They all have tetanus.
Right, well, shit. I know somebody gonna have lockjaw after this.
All that sharp metal, old rusty shit around there, of course.
So they take Rick to the top of a junk pile. That's up. And she basically tells them, look, life hard now. We be opening up canned foods and cans starting to have rotten food inside of them. We sat on the boat because we wanted them boat supplies. But y'all got them and we ain't getting none. So you need to prove that you a real nigga. And if you do, then we'll work with you. And then she pushed his ass down off the up into a pit of trash where he fought a fucking gladiator arena zombie.
Yes, he did. I was like, what happened here? What's going on?
Oh my God. This nigga fought a fucking zombie that has spikes sticking out of it and all shit right. And a helmet.
She might as well said, let the games begin.
For real. She for real. And then like the rest of the crew could kind of look through these pipes
and they were panicking
to kind of see, especially Michonne. She's like, not my dick, what you doing? And so then these you know, they made him fight this fucking, you know, zombie, and they were, and he was having a hard time. He stabbed himself in the hand, cut his leg kicking the zombie because it's full of spikes. And he, you know, these LARPing ass niggas of course had to make it super hard. And so he takes, because Michonne has a psychic connection with him, she was like, Rick, use the walls. And then he, just like they did with the car stunt last week, he magically knew what she meant, and he piled trash on top of the zombie, and then it got pinned down, and he took a glass and wrapped it in cloth and stuck it through the zombie's head until it died.
Yeah, and Rick was like at the level of the video game where you almost think you got the boss, and the boss was like, it's a trap! And you like fall down into a hole, and he was like, shit, now I gotta fight my way out of this bitch.
Yeah, it's such a role-playing game. The only thing that would make it better is they had to take turns hitting each other.
Yes!
But I have a question. Like, so much like we go back to the cheesemaker, and, you know, I was sitting there when Morgan, when they went in the house and there was that cage in the middle of the living room. Now I'm wondering, like, what type of situation are these junk people experiencing where they have set up a fight till your death ring?
For with
and
a,
everybody knew what it was.
Right, with a metal protected zombie.
Yes.
It wouldn't, and maybe it's just me, it wouldn't surprise me if they put people down there that like cross their borders, that, you know, just put people down there just so they can fuck them up, just so they don't have to be bothered with them. Or people may have came to them before and they was like, this is where you go.
So you think they throw them down there to die?
I mean,
because it was a corpse down there that was eaten completely. It wasn't even a zombie, it just was eaten.
Yep, that's why I said they'd do that. Or maybe if you break whatever rules of the group, they push your ass down there, like that, you know.
I get it. Yeah. All right, we got to go to segment two. Give me 1 second. I'll bring everyone back on screen. 1 second, Miss Smart.
Okay.
And everyone will be right back. It won't take very long.
It's no zone. Alfred, do you have any booty sweats?
Yeah, get him chugging on some of Alpha's ass water. That'll bring him around. It's a cure-all. Man, what you coming out in movies for anyway? Do you need another revenue stream?
For your information, my revenue stream currently generates $2 million a year in charitable contributions for my community.
I think.
And why am I in this movie? Maybe I just knew I had to represent. Because they had one good part in here for a black man, and they gave it to Crocodile Dundee.
Pumpy Breaks, kid. That man's a national treasure.
I just wanted to throw another shrimp on you, Bobby.
That shit ain't funny.
Hey, fellas, it's hot. We're tired. It stinks.
I'm fucking with you, Kangaroo Jack. I'm sorry a dingo ate your baby.
You know that's the true story? Lady lost a kid. You got to cross some fucking lines.
Guys, relax.
You know what? Fuck that, man. I'm sick of this koala-hugging nigga telling me...
For 400 years, that word has kept us down.
What the fuck?
Took a whole lot of time just to get up that hill. Now we up in the big leagues. Kid, not turn the bat. Long as we live, it's you and me, baby.
That's the theme song for the Jeffersons.
Am I not?
You really need help.
And just because the theme song don't make it not true.
I don't know what you see, but I see.
Yeah, I can't see nothing. It just says loading your video, but I'm on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all hear me in the chat? They hear me in the chat? Yes? Okay.
Can y'all hear him?
Well, I'll keep going because, yeah, for me, it just says loading your video. I don't know what's going on. Well, as long as it's not messing up, let's keep it moving there. All right. So back to our story. So Rick, beats the fucking zombie, of course, you know, run up and get done up. And after Rick wins, he says, he's like, I told you we can do anything, you just give us a chance and all this shit. And they was like, all right, pull them up, get us some guns, and we'll join your fight. And Rick is like, we can get you some guns, no problem. And that's when I'm like, total role playing game, because the next side mission is going to Oceanside to get some guns, right?
Yeah, it is.
Gotta be the lick. Wait, is Miss Smart back too? She not back?
I see her thing moving for like sound, but I don't hear her.
Oh, she said she's here. I can't see her. I can't. Okay, so let me refresh your eyes, because okay. I think that's the only way this is gonna work. Because if she's not on my screen, we can't gonna be able to hear her side of the conversation.
I can see her, and I can see her little thing. Well, I just couldn't hear her.
Yeah, you can't hear it because it's coming through my computer, which won't
okay
load the video for some reason.
Not a problem.
Yeah, it says loading video. Okay, yes, turn on camera. So I hit yes to turn on camera, and then nothing. It just says loading your video still,
which is weird because
I'm gonna close it and go back in.
Okay, because we can actually see you.
Yeah damn it.
It's all good.
Y'all might be in for a treat. You know, back before the war broke out, I was a saucier in San Antonio. I bet I could call up some of them greens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, noodle some crawfish out the patty, yo. I made us some crab apples for dessert now, yeah? Hey, yeah.
What is this?
That's Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, I haven't seen him in fucking years.
All right, before my computer rudely interrupted us, just so rude, we were almost done discussing this thing. All right, so let's see if we can, if I can pick up where I left off, which I've totally forgotten. All right, my man Rick beat the zombie, mm-hmm. and he was like, y'all ready to work with a nigga? And she was like, yeah, give us some guns. And I started putting it together. It's basically an RPG. Side quest, gotta go to Oceanside to get the guns. That's the only place they've shown us where it's a whole lot of guns and not enough people to use them.
Right.
And she was like, get the guns, then we'll fight your fight. Then they negotiate for their stuff, which is essentially she wants half of whatever they get from the saviors, because that's how Gabe was able to convince them to join sides is, hey, whatever we get from the saviors, we'll give y'all a lot. By the way, Gabe, shout out to him, trying to talk like them. It wasn't as good, but he was like, we get much from the saviors. We give you much. I was like, oh, nice try, buddy. You've been here longer than everybody else. Rick says, we'll give you a third, and they want their stuff back. And eventually they get to an agreement where the junk people can keep the jars of stuff they got from Rick and them, but they only get a third of the haul from the saviors. And they go to shake on it, but Rick got a bloody hand from touching one of the spikes on the zombie, so he clearly gonna get locked jaw on the way home.
Come on, need a Tetris shot.
Yeah, what'd you say, a Tetris shot?
Yep, Tetris shot.
Tetanus shot.
Well, we all talking about video games here.
Yeah,
my bad.
Gotta turn you in.
Tetanus shot, my bad.
Tetris shot.
My bad, y'all.
Video games. Anyway, so tetanus hasn't kicked in yet, and he comes lipping around the corner, and he's like super hype or whatever because they got this agreement. He also, that's when we find out that the zombie's name is Winslow, which I now want somebody to do a complete remake of the Family Matters theme song with clips of that zombie in it. Oh man, that would be so good. Anyway, Winslow the zombie, and he was like, so y'all use that to test people? And she was like, no, his name was Winslow. So I don't know what the fuck they use it for. Was it just a pet zombie?
So.
Like entertainment? I don't know. People do weird things.
Yes, they do.
Rick comes around the corner, Gabe and him hang out by the car, and Gabe is like, man, I really thought you was gonna think I left, and I appreciate that you believed in me. As soon as you showed up and you nodded, I knew that you knew I got taken by the boat people, and I didn't know if y'all was gonna be able to find me. And Rick was like, nah, man, I believe or whatever, you fine, you know. And then he was like, why you believe in people? Why you so confident now? And he was like, because somebody showed me that enemies can be friends. And he was talking about Gabe. Mm-hmm. And Michonne saw their bro hug moment, and she smiled. And then, not to be outdone, Rosita started acting like a complete asshole.
Of course. That's been her thing.
Yeah. Now, for the record, I think Rosita had a point. She said, we need to stay out here before we head back to the group, and we need to find some guns. Right. And, you know, Rick and them, you know, they basically like, we need to head back. We got all the food. Ain't nobody got no food at home. And she's like, well, I'll stay out. And Tara's like, no, we all stay together because we need to do this together. And Rick wants us to do that. People at home ain't got no food. And I'm convinced she's only saying that because she don't want them to find Oceanside.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if she doth protest too much, and as they say.
And they actually might be near it.
Right. Well, Rick even says, you the one that's been the furthest out here, so you can at least tell us where not to go. Which is so, like, that's going to end up being a real boondoggle for them. You know, because she can steer them away from Oceanside, and that might be where the gun's at, because she made that dumbass promise. And then Rosita was like, Tara was like, look, man, we don't need to fight each other. We already gearing up to go to war, like, for another fight. And Rosita was like, it's always a fight. I'm not letting anyone get in our way or slow us down. And she sounds like the person on the reality show that's like, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win.
On the 55th season of The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
It makes me think, well, Rosita did go back with them, didn't she? Or she did.
Talking to the mic, baby.
Rosita did go back with them, or she didn't.
She did end up going back, yes.
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if Rosita at some period of time struck off and Rosita found that group off.
Oceanside by herself?
Right. And come back and tell them.
She fuck around and get killed. Cause she ain't gonna know how to handle herself. She gonna go in there with guns blazing. With her one bullet plan.
It's
okay.
This might be unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why Tara is loyal to these new broads.
First of all, it ain't unpopular.
Okay.
I think cause she liked that girl.
So?
Right.
I mean that don't mean nothing, but you know, it's irrational and illogical, but you know, she was like, I made her promise. I wasn't gonna tell them, so I'm not gonna tell.
She better tell.
She gonna tell.
Mm-hmm.
She better tell.
She gonna tell.
What's it gonna take? Some more people dying? Like, it's y'all or them. And Oceanside already had a run in with the saviors. You know what I mean? Man, you gotta come off them guns.
Yeah, it's gonna take a negotiation too. They gonna come be like, hey, hope y'all know they will find this space. You're not safe here, no matter how.
Y'all can't even shoot.
Right, so they're shooting like the damn stormtroopers.
Yeah, 47 of y'all had guns and none of y'all even clipped Tara. Like, y'all need to come off them guns. Y'all know what y'all doing. But no, I'm with you, Miss Smart. I don't see why you would have loyalty. Listen, these hoes ain't loyal, is what I would say. As I leave that group and tell right where the gun's at. But yeah, I felt like she was trying to like control the situation and keep them away from Oceanside. So Rick grabs a metal cat sculpture to replace the one Michonne lost, and then they get in the car and leave. And for people that are like, what cat did she lose? Season 3, the episode where Carl wants to go off on his own to go into this bar in his old hometown, mm-hmm. and get a picture of his mama and dad. It was after his mom died, I believe, together as a family during happier times. It was a picture of him, his mom, and his dad. And it was at a bar, and he was trying to get that picture. And he took, and Michonne came with him basically because he was going to go out by himself like a dumbass. Well, he dropped the picture and left it in there. Mm-hmm. Michonne goes back in, gets the picture, and she grabbed a fancy statue of a cat that was really colorful. And she said that, how could she leave it behind because it was so gorgeous or something like that. And so it's a callback to that, which I thought was a cool Easter egg. All right. We only got one email this week.
Oh.
I know, right? Told you it was gonna be short. Pretty straightforward episode. The Walking Dead flashback, Dead Feedback EVE says, hi Rod, Karen, and Miss Smart. I'm just gonna put it out there. I don't trust these garbage pail kids one damn bit. It's a good name for the group. You can't trust a group who would put a leader with a Vulcan haircut in charge.
Aww.
And let's be honest.
Valid.
Is that the group you really want to arm? Yeah, I feel like they could easily betray them. But you need help at this time. Every last one of them looks like they once plotted to shoot up a school but never got around to it because the Z-Pac happened. I don't think it's a coincidence that Rick had a stigmata like wound in his hand, and the leader of the Garbage Pail Kids name is Jadis, which sounds a lot like Judas. Them hoes ain't loyal. Speaking of royal, so glad that Father Gabriel didn't betray the crew. I was ready to roast his ass this week, but he came through. How about all that Rishon action this week? Rick was able to beat the heavy metal zombie thanks to Michonne's coaching. Plus, he knew if he survived, he was going to get some ass later on that night. I love that he got her the cat. That was so sweet. I'm getting closer to having my wish of beige babies in this epoch. As for Rosita, I said it last week and I'll say it again. Bitch! Who you fitting to try? She just came at the right people. Eugene wouldn't say boo to a fly. Sasha feels a little guilty about the Abe situation. And Tara is just a nice person. Let her come at Michonne or Carol with that mess. She would have been eating dirt. Fuck her. I hope she dies. Like, I wish she was the one who had got Negan, but I guess the writers didn't kill her off because no one would have cared. Another great episode. EVE. Woo! Hot. She was not fucking with y'all.
No.
All right, man. Well, that's it for this week. That was the whole recap. What are y'all looking forward to next week, Karen?
Ooh, I'm looking forward into them going more into Dwight's background. Look like we're gonna get Dwight, and it look like they show little clips of him kind of breaking down. So I think we're gonna get some more background with him, some more detail about his history. I don't know how much detail we're going to, I'm guessing we're going to find out more about what are they doing to Eugene and how they're treating him. And I'm interested to see where that storyline goes.
What do you think about them giving us a little more Richard's, I guess, secret? It wasn't like his origin or his backstory, really. Although we think maybe he had a daughter or somebody that died. Because you brought that up last week that you wanted some more of that. What'd you think?
I think that it's going to be interesting. I think that he's a man on the edge. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where they go with the story. I personally think that they're going to do some form of a flashback or maybe a dream showing these family members and maybe showing them getting fucked up at some period of time to make him be so desperate now. Like, because you go, okay, I understand you're desperate, but they show little glimpses, but they ain't actually tell us why he's pushed to this point of being desperate.
Yeah. You know, one thing I was thinking too is the Saviors haven't killed any of Ezekiel's people.
We don't know.
That we know of, and it doesn't seem that he's, like, as far as these exchanges go, I think at this point someone would have told us if the deep dark secret was that the Saviors did kill a bunch of people.
You don't know, because
I think they would, though, because why? I think Richard would snitch. I think he has enough people that want to fight that if they knew the horrible secret that Ezekiel had people killed by the Saviors, and that's why he's really being like this, I really think they would have told, because it aids in their cause of you know, getting more people to fight. I don't think that anybody was killed by the Saviors, and that's one of the reasons Ezekiel is like he is.
Okay.
And I don't know how, if this is necessarily a prediction, but I feel like if someone dies by the Saviors under his watch, he'll be ready to fight.
I think somebody will then. Okay.
Like Ben dies. I got my eye on Ben. Too sweet.
Oh yeah. Somebody gonna fuck him up.
Too sweet for the Z-Pac, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like if Ben dies, that's because I think his whole thing is like, do whatever we can to preserve all the lives. And that's right. Why every time they get into it with the exchange, his whole thing is like, no, they won't kill us. And everything he has that has happened so far, he has every reason to believe as long as they comply, they won't be killed. Rick and them know totally different.
Right.
All right. So, Ms. Smart, what do you think next week?
I'm looking to the one-liners back and forth between Negan and Mullet. I'm looking forward to those. I am looking forward to, well, see, I don't know that anybody necessarily of importance has to die, but I think that if the Saviors decide to just come inside of Ezekiel's spot, that's a huge breach of trust as well. I don't know why they would come in there, because Daryl is no longer there, and Richard can't even tell him that he's there.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, unless Daryl was lying about where he was going, you know, because he said he did say out loud that he was going to Hilltop, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, yeah. So maybe he said that to throw Richard off. I'm just hoping Daryl is that smart. But yeah, I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to eventually, maybe not next week, but somebody, you know, unleashing the Kraken of Sheba on somebody, whether it's walkers, humans, or what.
I feel like they saving Sheba for like the finale or some shit. I do wonder, and this will be interesting to find out, how long are they gonna stretch this out, because this story is much bigger than the comics at this point.
Yes, it is.
So many groups involved. Yep. And to be honest, some of the motivations and the way they've written the characters, in my opinion, are better than the comics.
True.
Like, for example, I was thinking about this, the way they wrote Gabe and Morgan is so much better than the comics.
I 100% agree,
you know, especially Gabe, because by this time Gabriel went crazy and shit. They had to kill him. Morgan had, didn't Morgan go crazy too, or did, I forget how Morgan died, but the,
spoiler alert, but yeah, Morgan ends up, in the comic book, Morgan dies with the governor. He ends up, coming up there, they end up negotiating, and he was like, fuck it, I'm gonna kill him. He ended up killing him, and Michonne had ended up stabbing him in the sword with, you know, how his head was on the ground, so I'm like,
So the point being, like, the story's so big now,
right?
I don't know how you, I think they have like 6 episodes left or something, maybe, or I don't know how they wrap it up,
right?
Like in 6 episodes, that's, I mean, not that, but I think there's a limit for all this shit. Like, I don't think they can extend this out to like another season or another half season, because I think the audience is gonna get tired of this shit. So at some point, all this, these machinations and plans, I feel like it has to culminate. Maybe at the season finale, we'll get the battle royale, and I think that's when we'll get Sheba eating some motherfuckers.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And the reason why I agree with you, because pretty soon we're gonna start getting them extended episodes, and I think the reason why is they probably need more minutes to push some of the storyline.
Well, all these episodes have been extended so far.
Okay.
They're not all extended by like 30 minutes. Like last week was 1:16, this week was 1:06.
Right.
So I think pretty much all the episodes are extended deep now.
Okay.
But there's just gonna be some moments, like we're gonna probably get, next week we might be in one location, maybe, you know, right. Or we're gonna get at least one of these flashback episodes. Maybe we'll get a Negan flashback. Know that people seem less patient with the extent of the story, even as they add new elements to it. So I'm wondering when they're gonna do it, because also I think it's almost like an optical illusion the way they use Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because clearly they're not having him in every episode.
Right.
And they found some neat ways around it, but it won't be long before people start noticing, like, well, Negan not even in every episode. Why the fuck should I be, you know, so impressed with this organization and shit, you know? And people only want to see them under the thumb of the saviors, but for so long. Like, if these niggas visit Alexandria one more time, I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. You know what I mean? Like, get the killing. Let's go.
So. You know what? You guys have mentioned flashbacks, but, you know, we haven't actually had a flashback of Carol.
We haven't.
We know she was an abused wife.
Right.
But we haven't, she's one of, you know, we haven't gone back with her. I guess with Daryl, we didn't go back with him either, but we at least had his brother for a long enough time, and he talked about like being in that shack when he was with Beth and stuff like that, but that's the closest we've gotten to, you know, their previous lives. In fact, there was one point back when they went to that place where Bob stole the liquor, where they were trying to guess, somebody was trying to guess what Daryl was before this, and he never said. Even Michonne had said, you know, and we went back with her, but those, nah.
I'll tell you this, man. Part of me is like, if they do something like that, where they're gonna kill Carol, like half of it's like flashback and half of it's like what's happening in the present and them coming to kill her somehow, like maybe if they set off that plan, I could see something like that. But I'm a little hesitant because her story is gonna involve domestic violence and shit, and they might not want to show that shit, you know, like it's gonna be kind of a downer, because we watched her become the strong person that she is mm-hmm. on this show. Like, we've seen her since episode like one or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we've watched her develop into this like strong, deadly, just woman. And I don't know, it'll be interesting to see how that plays if they did a, well, before the Z-Pac, she used to get beat up and shit, but I could kind of see them being like, and that's her triumph is, right. Yes, she died, but she died as this woman who, you know, stood up for herself and fought back and whatnot. But I don't know, man. I could just see that being real hard, a hard sell for an audience to give her origin story, especially if it's, you know, tied to her dying or something. But
right. I think I don't think she will come back to being a fighter. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that she may let herself get killed.
Me too. Yep. Yeah.
Because she was willing to before and got mad at Morgan.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I just don't know, man. So that's a tough, sticky situation.
Or she might die trying to save somebody else.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's a sticky situation, man, to be honest. Like, cause I mean, some people, I was like, you do a flashback for that, you're gonna have a lot of think pieces on your hands, with that shit, you know? But it's totally possible.
Right.
And you could film it in a way that I guess you could try to mitigate it, but the way that the environment is now with, social media and shit, man, I could just see people being mad that it was even hinted at or depicted on screen. I mean, look at all the episodes of Game of Thrones. If they eat, no matter how they film it, if they say a character got raped, it's just, you know, think piece city out this piece. And so far Walking Dead has kind of shown a way to avoid a lot of that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they don't show rape and all that stuff on the show. Yeah, like, they barely even imply it,
right?
You know, like, it's so I don't know that they would want to get into that territory. And they've, especially since they built this like heroine and Carol that people really worship, I don't know, man. We see her background story, it might be, like I said, it might be controversial as hell. I mean, I'm willing to watch it. I want to see
too,
anything, but
I'm
still
about compelling stories, but that's just me.
I just don't feel like fighting with y'all niggas for a week, to be honest.
And you know what, but think about this though, they may not, like, the abuse may be a small part of her backstory,
maybe,
you know, like, because yeah, we know she was abused. I mean, that's not all she was, like, you know, mm-hmm. maybe at some point she had a job, she had dreams and whatnot, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't want, I feel like they're wasting, Melissa McBride.
Mm.
I want more, she's a really good actress. I want more depth from her. Like, that scene with her and Daryl was really good.
Mm-hmm. Nah, she's great, man. I think that's another thing they do well is they use certain people sparingly so that they always have impact. You know what I mean? But they've done a good job of keeping her in the episodes, even if she's not actively involved with any of the group. But she always has a couple minutes in the episode lately of someone running up on her house or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's an interesting one, man. We'll see what they do. But I do feel like we got to get at least one flashback. We always get a flashback. Somebody getting flash. I'd love to see Negan's flashback, to be honest.
I think that's what,
what the fuck makes a Negan? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck was that? All right. So, man, Miss Smart, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Miss Smart.
You guys are very welcome. It was lovely as usual.
Oh, for sure. Anytime. And of course, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back Saturday with our feedback show. Me and Bossy will of course be doing This Too Much this week, probably Friday. Oh. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody keeps telling me it's a monster and all this shit, and mm-hmm. appreciate all the people that have not spoiled it. Y'all are very appreciated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll be back. And we were just on Cinema Bun podcast.
This was fun.
And it was so good, y'all. It's called Cinema Bun, all one word, and it's about movies, and we discussed a terrible movie called, Let the Church Say Amen.
Yes.
But before we even got to that, we talked about a bunch of movie news and
we had so much fun
talked about that. My dream of having a Harriet Tubman biopic and
yes.
how
that got to happen.
Yeah, well, it's happening and how we have those movies coming out this year and mm-hmm. stuff. So, super interesting, man. I think you guys will really enjoy it. We had a great time with them.
So go check those guys out.
Yeah. So we'll be back Saturday. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.